Seidel, CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com. Aloha.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Got a very hot mic there. Just thank you for joining. This is, again, the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI, 1080 AM. The number, if you are interested in calling in, 524-1080, 524-1080. And we can talk and hear your questions or comments. Anything you want to talk about is okay with me. I have a lot here, but feel free. And we're going to take up an old subject that really is a new subject that is an old subject that tends to present itself every day in our lives and our politics and what have you. And some of you may have been following the show, and we've talked about the white water in the stream, and there was a news story on that on Hawaii News Now, and then there was on the showers, there was a story done on the showers and the Star Advertiser. So good coverage. You get to hear it first if you're interested. And some of the things that we, again, the other day I talked to a gentleman and he says, well, I know you do environmental and I know you do these things and what have you, and you poke at everything. And the reality is, let me just set the record straight. If it's not environmental, I really generally don't really go out of my way. But if it's environmental, yes, I am out there looking. But many of the occasions that you see me stray across the line is because I hear from people who are being impacted negatively, can't get their government to respond to them, can't get results, can't get a solution, can't get resolution, can't get anything other than a cold shoulder. So I'm very proud to say to you that I'm glad that I play this role. And many of you don't understand it, and I know that a lot of them like to say that you're sticking your nose in the business. But if you're inclined to believe that I stick my nose, and just don't call me, and that way you won't have the problem, or you can live with the problem that you are having to resort to go to a private person or a citizen to do the bid that the state and the city and the county should have been doing for you, or you should be doing for yourself. So I want to set that record straight in that I got 1,000 things that I can sit down and look at and see that in this state how badly matters are being handled and run. So just a little clarification that this is not a lonely man looking for something to do. So when I react and respond to you when you call, and I'm always glad, especially if it has an environmental or social justice concern or angle, I'm eager to do that. But let's not try to characterize me for what. If you have problems, I can try and help you with your problems, but I don't need to be assessed or evaluated because I got so many things to do. And like just sitting on my butt some once in a while and watching the clouds fly by. So anyway, you know, we talk occasionally about social justice and injustices, and we talk about the Mayor Caldwell and the governor and other the legislators who tend to beat up on or use the homeless or. And I'm finding many people in fact, it's worse than my childhood days of coming up in Mississippi. At least in the South, they left you with a little dignity. As long as you stayed on your side of the line, you could be whatever you want to be. But if you went across the tracks, then you might encounter a rope or a whipping or beating or punishment or something or an arrest. But what I'm seeing here, and I just got to lay it out to you, the hatred, the racism, the injustices that are projected on the people from the Federated States of Marshall Islands and the Marshallese, that entire group of people seem to be suffering and taking the brunt of your racist behavior and treatment, just at government now, not talking about the citizens, because I think we've so far down that road where common citizens are having and expressing openly and overtly their hatred for Marshall Islanders, Marshallese, and what have you. And it shouldn't be that way, but I can't dictate to you what you should think and how you should think. But if you wake up and look in the mirror, if you're a local-born Hawaiian, and if you look at your Japanese or your Korean or your black or your, and you, if you get past looking at yourself in the mirror and forgetting all the pain that you have endured and suffered and experienced at the hands of others because of your nationality, your ethnicity, your race, then something's wrong. You need to go back and subscribe or ask for a subscription of some little pill that'll get your clear thoughts or clear sight. But this hatred, and I mean, it's so blatant now. It's overt. And so that lent itself to me saying and sharing with you, there at Pupu'ahi and Pupu, the area in Waipahu, that's just one area. Now, someone called me and wanting to remain anonymous, and I honestly don't know who it was, but initially I said I wouldn't go, but it reminded me of, I had looked at some of my old notes and the same thing pop up, is that the city's practice on this street called Aniani Place, and you go there and low-income people, and you go there and you find the trash is stacked up, piled up, and the city will not pick it up and did not pick it up over the last scheduled date. And then they also informed me that some of the bulky items. Well, nonetheless, now I know what the state will do, the city will do. They'll call up with some fancy explanation such as, well, if there is a car blocking the street, then everybody suffers because we don't go down that street. If there's one car, they're blocking the passageway. And this has been an age-old problem. And folks, you should see the garbage piled high, maggots, flies, children walking and playing in it and stepping in it. Now, again, I know we all have our reasons for not liking someone. But if you see this and you kind of like enlightening, you're encouraging, so to speak, the mayor, the governor, to treat these people or these communities where they live in such a fashion that they know you're not going to care because they hear your comments about them. And I know that many of you, I hear some of the words that, well, you know, they're taking our resources. And I have to hearken back to, well, gee, how ungrateful are we? We are a nation, a strong nation, a powerful nation. Well, until Putin handed off to Russia, but that's a different subject, a different show. But up until the time Putin took over America, we had a relationship that we owed the people in Micronesia, Marshall Islands, Federated States of Micronesia, and what have you. Because we, the French and others, tested our bombs there. And that allowed us to sit down and make a phone call or go to the world body and say, well, if you don't do this, we're likely to blow you up. Well, to blow you up was, we did a lot of testing in their homeland. And we are contributing to global warming, sea rise. And so they find themselves at our shores. They find themselves here at our shores taking the need in getting treatment for medical, and which is inadequately funded by the federal government, they say, and then the state says that it's taxing the existing monies that for this, quote, the citizen. So there is this hatred, and I'm just got to tell you, it's not what you think or what I think, but when you're in the midst of it and you see it every day and you hear it and you get the emails and the nasty remarks about a people, not individuals, but a people, then something's wrong. And that's okay if you accept that, but you know, but if you turn and look in that same mirror, you'll find that you're not doing so well yourself. We talk about the theft of a nation. We talk about injustices. We talk about the prisons being filled with mostly minorities and Hawaiian population, Native Hawaiians, and the schools are heated and sweated. And then, so as a relief, I guess, we train our barbs and our foul down tongue and teeth and bite at the Micronesians. If that's how we approach things, then I guess that's okay. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's always good if you're suffering an injustice and you get a chorus going and someone's listening to you. I guess it's okay. It might steal your thunder in your mind. You might think that. But we have a situation here where circumstances dictate. And I don't believe that any of the people and certain areas, the capacity. You look at the streets that go down into Ani'ani or the area. Very narrow anyway. And, it could be, there's private property, and so individuals could take care of their own properties, but when you're dumping cars in my city, if you park your car too long, they come through and they tag you. If you park your car and turn around where the trash man comes and can't turn around, you get tagged or you get told. Now, what's wrong with bringing a big truck in and having a smaller truck to go down the lane and pick up the trash? What's wrong with that? No, what it is that you get this feeling that this mayor, and under his administration in Kahakina and her directions, is that screw them. And so you should see the flies and the maggots and all of that and just laying there. Now, who in their right minds would want to expose children to that? But I guess if you're teaching them a lesson, and this is right under the shadows cast from the rail onto this trash. That's how close they are to the rail, and it reminds me of some of the direct impacts before the rail gets going, before the train starts up. Some of these impacts are having a human impact, an impact on humans, I should say. No money, cutting monies. But if you're getting hukipau and extra money for overtime and what have you, shouldn't that be done in a way and managed in a way that more efficiency? Should we be paying extra hukipau money for overtime and people getting six-figure salaries for working the refuse trucks, and then in turn they get to choose because you chose and you tell them, screw them. If they got a car over there, you can't make it down there, screw it. And so you drive off and you leave it. And you leave bulky item stuff, and it's thrown. So if you're just interested in this subject or this matter, go to carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. And I posted some pictures up there of the trash and the piling. And I don't believe a single one of you, and I know it wouldn't happen because I get all kinds of calls from you folks out there asking for help. And you wouldn't tolerate, you wouldn't accept the city's practices if you saw this. You would not if you were a subject of this or beneficiary of this poor treatment. So I don't know. I'm not pleading anything in mercy for anyone or anything. I'm just saying basically what I'm hearing out there in the streets and the airways and the Facebooks and all, it's simply stifling. That in a place where we all seem to have started off from the plantations or crawled out of the dirt because we were demeaned and demoralized and disenfranchised and all, and we struggle to get our heads above water and in this society, and then in turn we turn around and project on those that follow us. But they didn't follow us. They were thrust into this situation because of circumstances that we as American citizens created. We got lots of bombs, you know, lots of nuclear bombs. Did they test them in your backyard? No. Did they test them in your front yard? No. Where did they test them? How did they get the technology and know that it works and where it wouldn't work? Well, they tested them out in Micronesia. So I'm hoping that, and I could say it in many other ways and fashions, but I'm just trying to get you to straight skin. It's a sick world out there. From where, if I were to judge society on the comments about a people, and you know, I hear often the crab in a bucket. Well, where does that apply? Does it apply to us just community-wise, you know, or ethnic-wise, one group tearing down internally? Or can we apply that to all, and that we all tend to disrespect one another if we are given the chance because we're not informed, because we don't have control or say in our government anymore? Could that be the reason? You see, so there's laws that say you can't back a certain distance to get into a city truck, can't back a certain distance because of safety, and we've talked about this on the show. But the city, Laura Carquina and others, and OSHA and all have said, well, screw the law. We'll just let you do that because this neighborhood, we don't want to piss anybody off in this neighborhood. You go ahead and do it and force the driver and the crew of that crew picking up trash to violate the law to serve these communities because they're not Micronesian. But when it comes down to going to Ani Ani Ani, you know, I call it Ani Ani Ani, but Ani Ani place, you get this, screw them. They don't listen. Well, who is they? I mean, it could be someone that got drunk one night and left a car there or anything, or the design of the street. And I had asked about, you go in that area, there's open lot and what have you. What does the city do to enrich the community? One family said, well, there's a park down in Pupuahi, I think. Pupupuhi. But we don't have a park. But to get to that park, we have to go across, and we don't have cars, and there's not any, we don't feel safe crossing the streets over there. So, folks, we need to look inward. I would ask you to look inward as to, and be guarded against your comments and your hatred and your misplaced hatred, because the people you should be pissed off at is yourselves for being apathetic. You know, I mean, the same people that say to these people on Ani Ani Place that we're not going to pick your trash up, we're not going to pick your trash up, is because of this or that, something manini or small. And these are the same people that are saying, hey, in a couple of weeks, we're going to nickel and dime you to death and slit your throat and take the rest of your money and taxes. We're going to have a special session. We don't care about you. So they don't care about anyone. And I don't see the fight in people. I mean, it's almost like watching a movie of Zombieland. You know, we got a lot of people talking about the rail and wanting and objecting to it and the cost. But so what? They're still moving on. Still going on down the road. So you understand. There are some problems here in this town, folks. And I don't know what apartheid looked like, but I kind of got a hint when I went over to Honey Place. And the only problem is it's not South Africa, it's South Honolulu. And the mayor, his director, the city councilman for that district, and anybody else that has legislative powers or say in those lives over there should be ashamed of themselves. And all because of one parked car, possibly, or just the way the system flows. Many of them are Micronesian, so why should we be caring about Micronesian? I guess that's what they ask. We should care because they're human beings, they're taxpayers, they're, whether you like it or not, they're here, and you should give some consideration to why they're here. But then it is a reminder that if what they have sacrificed to build America, or America build itself, and this is the treatment they get, so what do you think you're going to get with your treatment? What do you think? You gave up your nation if you're Native Hawaiian. They took it from you. How do you think they're going to treat you? They're going to treat you like the Micronesians? We already know what we, as African American and I myself and others, we know what they'll do for us. You look at the level, the number of African Americans working in state government and city government and see what programs are in the way to obstruct them from even applying for jobs. With some crazy little rules and laws that, whereas many African Americans come out and get out of the army here and get out of the military, but try to get a job here. So, if you are willing to tolerate this and then characterize it as those Micronesian, I don't know if there's any help for you. Because you're basically denying that if you watch this happen to them, you're denying the fact that this same system will project on you the same injustices as it does every day. So, anyway, these are the same people that are running the government, and we're going to. I want to share with you in the same vein, loyalty and the ability to lie, and the ability, and the willingness to lie and manufacture things to cover things up while you are being exposed to some very hazardous and deadly chemicals and all of those things out there. So, many of you have read and listened to the show, and you saw we did it, and you may have caught the story on KGMB or Hawaii News Now regarding the Kapalama Canal. And that canal, I want to start off and share with you first just a little tidbit, and I'm not going to name the name yet, but I want to show you how places like Aniani Place can happen right before our waking eyes, and we won't get it because we are all in the same boat. Remember that we're in that soup that, you know, and big salad that everyone describes Hawaii as? Well, I've seen some people pick through the salad and throw some of the, some certain vegetables. I don't like that. I don't like radish. I don't like onion. I don't like this. And so, well, then you don't like the salad. So we're not a melting pot. We are whatever we are. It's a fallacy. But I'm not going to name the name now, but I want to, and if you get a chance and you think you know who it is, let me know. Call 524-1080. So this area we're talking about over there in Kapalama, this is, it's bounded by Costco and Evil A and the theaters in Evil A and the Dole Cannery theaters in Lowell's, and then there's Home Depot in that area. And the, some of you early listeners are, that have been with me for a while probably know that there is chemicals underground there that were injected and intentionally and injected and spilled and leaked and you name it. And just pick a chemical possibly and you might get, you might be right. It's anything and everything has been stored and buried and injected. See, the city, the state has this environmental voluntary response program process. So you saw this, and I talked about this white water in the river, in the stream, but actually it's neither. It's a drainage channel put in long time ago, and we recovered documents from 1970 that gives a, an accurate description, play-by-play, what this ditch really is. And on the ground now, I'll read you. The state health department has this information. The party that made certain statements was ahead of the Department of Health environmental deputy position. And so this describes what is underneath the ground there in this area, what could be potentially the source and contributing source to the white milky substance or chemicals, unknown chemicals that are flowing out of the canal into the ocean, into Honolulu Harbor. Original estimate was of 6,000 to 7,000 pounds of contaminants. That was the original estimate that they relied on. They gave this estimate to the state health department while the state was requiring this company and Weston and Arcadia and Gasco and interchangeably these names back and forth, but it's still ongoing. So the original estimate, again, is 6,000 to 7,000 pounds of contaminants. The present estimate of 3.4 million pounds or 1,540,000 kilograms of contaminants, including 130,000 pounds of benzene and 264,000 pounds of naphthalene under the ground, potentially contributing to this white milky substance that is flowing and being dumped intentionally out into the ocean. Now, this isn't something new. So the health department knew about this for years, back in 2009, 2004, 1988, 1998. They knew everything, the health department. And these are records that I got from the health department. Majority of the contaminant mass is heavy tars that can be handled in place. Arcadis first used anaerobic culture enhancement consisting granular sodium nitrate as an alternative electron donor. And they say that that process failed. Next, Arcadis used the presumptive remedy of in situ air sparging and soil vapor extraction, perimeter sodium percarbonate. Injection points were installed to prevent off-site migration. Now, this is some heavy stuff, folks, and when you hear the remarks that were made by parties within the state health department to the public, can only be, you can only draw the conclusion that they were intentionally lying and intentionally misleading the public and not doing the job and covering up for big business. The effort test proved promising and was system expanded. They removed 60,000 pounds of VOCs, volatiles of concern. But little impact on the groundwater. System abandoned based on diminishing returns. So yet another effort to clean it up and didn't clean it up. But that means the state was health department was authorizing and approving this. System abandoned base. And then Arcadis reached the RI stage before Weston took over the site. Weston rewrote the RI. Weston now has Weston Solutions is the company that bought the land and had an environmental ability to business to clear up lands, you know, that have been impacted by contaminants or whatever. Weston now has an approved RAA and a DRAM stage. Secret to public participation is to get neighbors to agree to the solution in advance. Gasco property and CCPI building following separate remedial pathways. And then the players in this is Gasco, Site, BHP, Weston, Legal. Now, listen at these big names, and this will probably give you some reason or some ability to draw a conclusion that somebody lied and somebody intentionally lied when it came, they were asked publicly to give statements about this. We don't know why they would do it, but these names might give us a little clue as to some of the people involved or the companies involved in this area that is contaminated. The players are Gasco Remediation, Gasco Site, BHP, Weston Legal Counsel, HDOH, Lowe's Site, Home Depot, Costco Site, Chevron TTLR, CCPI, DOH, Dole Cannery Site, Weston and KSK, Legal Counsel, and Lessons Learned, Teamwork Essential, and da-da-da-da-da. So this is what they do. A little background on this site before I go. 4 acres of former gas located in Honolulu produce gas for lighting and domestic, commercial, and industrial uses. Operated between 1905 and 1977, petroleum, not coal-based process, and the buildings were diminished and the process was demolished in 1990. Site investigations through 1980 and through 2004. Now, that was just the investigations now, and then they redid another one. Now, having said all of that, and we're going to talk more about it, but I want to read you, this was done through the Action Line and KHON2 back in 2013, March 8th. And Councilmember Joey Manahan was involved. And an old canal in Ivalay is creating quite a stink in the community, the article goes. KHON2, the state says that Kapalama Drainage Canal has been problem spot for years. But residents can be part of the solution, they say. Now, you see, this is how silly things are operated here. The residents can be part of the solution. How in hell are you going to be part of the solution when you're not even given the facts or the truth and you don't have the ability to do sampling and you're not a company that's even knowledgeable of remediation of the chemicals and all of those things? How are you going to do this? So this small waterway behind Nimitz Center looks like a stream of milk, but it's actually the Kapalama Drainage Canal. The water is white and filled with trash and debris. Ever so often, more water is pumped out, but what's even more distinct? Smells like rotten eggs, actually, said Laura Vornahar, employee of the business there. Sort of like rotten eggs or something strange, said another person. And then, here's the brilliant statement now. Mind you, the Department of Health is responsible for making sure that these things don't happen, and when they do happen, people that are responsible for them are to clean them up, address them, and recover and try and remediate the land back to where it won't be a threat. So here's the classic statement and why. And this statement was, This is, quote, this is similar to the Olawai Canal, said Gary Gill, deputy director of the state health department. He is well aware of the problem. So let me get this right. If you're the deputy director of the health department, and you just said that it is just like the Olawai, but you know you've had an army of people coming and remediating and chemicals that are out of this world. You can't even pronounce the name of some, and you know they're in ground, and you know that they've been approaching your agency, and you've been dictating to them what they shall do to remediate this. And that you then say it's like the Olawai Canal. What do you mean? That water comes in, and because we don't have the exchange of water, the flow, and that means that it gets stagnant, and then some detritus, and because it's, you know, eutrophication occurs, and so we get some smelly water. Is that how it is, Gary? So then, it says, after saying he's well aware of the problem, quote, just leaves that blow into the storm drain system often settle down to the bottom of the canal or an estuary, and as they decay, sulfur gas is given off, Gill said. How about that? You got in your files, and your workers and your scientists and your engineers and all have said they've done, and there are documents that says millions, 34 million pounds of contaminants, including 130,000 pounds of benzene and 264,000 pounds of naphthalene. And you have this at your disposal, and you're the deputy director of the, and you give all the approval, and then you stand up there on the banks of that muddy Mississippi that is not the Mississippi in the Pacific and declare that it's just like leaves falling into the drain and rotting and giving us that sulfuric smell. Kind of cool, isn't it? I wish I could get away with that kind of, what is that called? Is it subterfuge? What is it? I mean, why would one go when the average person can go and pull up the records and see that it's more than leaves? Now, I could be wrong. Maybe it was just complete ignorance on his part. Maybe it was just like a fish out of water. He was in, had the title deputy director, but I have to remind myself he was the deputy director twice on the Abercrombie. And I think under Kaitan. So, but you would have to ask, why? Why would anyone make such representation? And knowing that it's not going to provide accuracy or anything to the people. And so, one of the reports, just to share, and I read to you last week or week before last that the state had gone and they found the elemental sulfur. And you wonder, well, where is that coming from? Well, if they were handling oil, that you can generate sulfur by processing the oil and what have you to get the gasoline as a byproduct. But in the files, under the Environmental Hazard Evaluations Office, the Lowe's VRP, former ConocoPhillips, there on March 20th, 2008, they wrote a document. And I didn't have the whole document to print out, but I just printed out a few pages. And just to show you, they say elemental sulfur. Now, mind you, Gill says, well, it's like the Olawai, and there's leaves rotting, and so therefore it gives off that sulfur smell. You know, yeah, right, but still yet, Mr. Gill, you're not here now to ask and answer those things, but okay, if the sulfur is from rotting leaves, where does the milk come from? frolicking cows? I don't know. But is it an attempt to mislead the public? Is it an attempt to conceal what is really going on? Is it an attempt to... And yeah. So in this file, in this report, it says that a 1927 Sanborn map indicates that the buildings on the property included a sulfur warehouse, a copperas, ferrosulfide plant, acid chambers, an acid phosphate plant, a bag warehouse, a bag mill, a dryer, an oil tank, a laboratory, a mixing plant, an office, a machine shop, a storage building. And that this is in the state file, and this is what the director signs off on and approves it. And then, oh, forget about all that, I guess he did. He couldn't remember and felt that basically what it is, folks, no big deal. It's just rotting leaves. They're giving off the sulfur. But we don't, I can't tell you about the chemicals and the thousands of pounds, the millions of pounds of it that's in the ground up there. Those are the ones we've quantified and identified. So, if you're wondering why the Honolulu Harbor and the surrounding shore waters and the waters out and the coral reefs are dying and all, maybe it has its origin in the Department of Health practices, where they boastfully say 20 VRP, volunteer response programs, and then on a daily basis, chemicals of unknown quantities, unknown types, are flowing out of the ground into a ditch, and from that ditch into the ocean on a 24-hour daily basis. And we say, you know, that we're going to protect the ocean, that we're going to do this and the lands. And in turn, what we're doing is we're protecting big business. Gasco, BHP, whoever is still responsible for that, brakes should be put on, order to cease and desist, the state file legal action, take action. It's a menace to society, it's a menace to our planet, it's a menace to many things in our natural resources. Take over and tell those folks you're going to be responsible as the law requires you to be. If you generated it, it's yours from cradle to grave. If you sold the land to someone else and that someone else didn't clean it up, you can't hand it off to someone else. But maybe you could if you got a health department heads, administrators standing there offering lame excuses or explanations or not even based on science. How many leaves fall from the tree? Well, we wouldn't know because the leaves fall silent. And who's there counting them? And we wouldn't know. Has he ever done a draining, a dredging of the leaves and count the leaves to see if that number of leaves rotting and falling off into the... And then what about the exchange of water coming in from the ocean? It's right there within 1,000 feet from the source of contaminants. And the outlet is about 100, 200 yards away from the main channel that goes into the ocean at Pier 39. So this is give you some idea. And the property is located in Iwala District, Honolulu, a commercial and light industrial area. The property is bordered on the east side by Pacific Street, on the south by BEI Hawaii Facility, on the west, North Nimitz Highway, and on the north of the Home Depot, Weyhauser. The property lies seaward of the underground injection control at a surface of elevation of approximately 68 feet above mean sea level. The nearest major bodies of surface water are Kapalama Channel and Honolulu Harbor, approximately 1,000 feet to the south of the Nuuanu Stream, approximately 0.4 miles to the east. So that then brings me back to another sight in the visual that I saw with the governor and the mayor standing there at the Hokulea arrival and return and talking about how they're going to help the oceans and the Honua, the Malama, and this and that. And then it's like, when are you going to just be truthful with yourselves and with the public and do what it is you are required to do, enforce the law and regulate the law and protect the environment and the people's health? Never mind all those fancy words. Seizing the opportunity to make yourself look good while we're living in a cesspool. We'll be back. 524-1080 is the number. This is Carol Cox on KWAI. And you could probably today you'll catch at 1 o'clock, channel 54 Olelo. You can see the show we've done on this particular, on the beach showers at Waikiki. And we're working on one now for the Kapalama Stream. And the idea is to, when people, we do these things, not trying to be news hogs or anything like that, but just to set the record straight. And we'll do it in our way, in our fashion, the best we know. And those that want to learn, will learn. If those that don't, see you on the other side of the river. Take care. We'll be right back.
Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KW.
I was dreaming when I wrote this
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI 1080 AM. 524-1080 is the number if you are interested in calling and want to have a comment or anything, give your opinion. So, I was talking about the Kapalama stream and the state's programs of VRPs. And again, I was motivated to go back to this topic because of what I'm reading and what I'm finding, and that we're being taken for a ride, and we're spending a lot of tax dollars. Lots of money, folks. Millions that we don't have, to have people run around writing reports and doing things that, hey, looks good on the surface, but when it comes to the effectiveness and enforcement of the law and protecting and not tolerating such waste and abuse and just flat out ignoring the environmental needs, sound management, they're not good stewards. But I want to read you a document that I recovered. It's written in 1972, and pollution in Hawaiian waters. And it's all relevant and quite, it applies to the stream, the Kapalama stream. And I'm doing this so that someone that comes along later and want to understand what's going on, a clearer picture rather than seeing milky substance smelling like sulfur, getting people sick and nauseated, impacting businesses, impacting the environment, and it is dismissed from public officials as leaves falling into the water. Sounds like Thoreau writing a report, a poem or something. But a water quality survey of the Kapalama Canal was undertaken in 1970 and 71 to obtain baseline data for evaluation of the pollution potential of the surface drainage channel. You see, of that surface drainage channel. This is specifically now. Now, the state, when I go to them, they only had one document. They claimed that was a call in 2012 and a complaint possibly that I made, that they only found elemental sulfur. But all of their records show that their tests and samplings and they're ordering the people to do certain things, but for the public's access, nothing. Oh, we just got one paper that just it didn't say that. And then you got to know, they ask the question, well, is someone doing, I have some documents saying that you guys are intimate with these folks and dictating what they can do, and there you've allowed them to use a VRP, the volunteer response program, and but you don't only have one document. That in itself doesn't sound right, doesn't set well, and it does not, and it's not true. The survey included the stretch of canal between the residential area below School Street to the tidal waters of downstream of the Pineapple Canneries, effluent discharge ditch. That effluent discharge ditch, Pineapple Canneries, chemical and bacteriological characteristics of the canal were assessed through the measurement of the following parameters: pH, DO, alkalinity, hardness, chlorides, total solids, total nitrogen, total phosphorus, and on and on and on. Results of the survey showed that levels of all parameters except pH and alkalinity increase in a downstream direction, with high levels of particularly noted downstream tidal dam, probably due to the effects of effluent discharge from the Pineapple Canneries outfall ditch. But Gary Gill stood there and told you it was leaves, autumn leaves, falling to the ocean and floating out to the sea so the fish can have something to be romantic about. But he knew in his office there, under his watch, hundreds of pages. One report is 1,500 pages. But it's just the leaves, folks. Probably due to the effects, discharge of the Pineapple outfall ditch, they say, a significant diluting effect was noted during periods of wet weather stream flow. The state water quality standards were exceeded for several parameters. And it is in phosphorus in the Class A waters in total coliform. The average FCP, Pseudomonas arenosa organism were found in the canal waters and were observed in densities greater than attributed to stormwater runoff. This is, and I've been trying to do some research on this Pseudomonas, but it's not good. A bacteria. But that wouldn't come from rotten leaves, I would guess, right? Or maybe I don't know any better. The let me find this one place here. That knowledge of the river water quality assumes importance today. Water quality tests between June and November 1970 by the State Health Department disclosed that Kapalama Canal is the most polluted stream on Oahu. And yet, it's been allowed to flow in the discharge ditch from Dole Cannery's pineapple operation that is now, God only knows what is coming out of there constantly, daily. And we're told that its leaves are falling from the trees. It's like the Alawai, you know. Well, the Alawai didn't have a cannery. The Alawai didn't have a processing plant for oil. It didn't have storage tanks for oil. It didn't have an injection of about 1.5 million kilograms of tar-like substance in the ground. I don't think so. But it's kind of like the Alawai. You know when you're being buffaloed when someone goes to that extent to convey to you a message. When let's just talk about what we see right here on this ditch bank. We don't need to examples. We don't need, well, it's like this. No, how about what is this we're looking at? Knowing all of that, like Pearl Harbor, if you go around anywhere around Pearl Harbor, you will see signs posted reminding people not to go in the water. For many reasons, but for concerns of bacteria and contaminants, and do not eat the fish. There isn't one single sign up, not a single sign. And people are crabbing, people are fishing, people are eating them, people are catching them and selling them. And the state knows that this is a contaminated source that is just seeping and flowing into the ocean. Again, you can see, if you're just joining in, you can go to carolcox.com and read more and hear more and see more of the pictures that is dealing. To preserve water resources and control quality-related problems and their threat to environmental quality, the Federal Water Quality Act was passed by Congress in 1965. We all know that, hopefully. And in accordance with the Act, the Hawaii State Department established water quality standards for all the states receiving water. These standards are established to include both coastal waters and fresh streams and make it essential that baseline data on quality of these waters be available so that the system of enforcement of the standards can be implemented. So anyway, pollution of the canal is significant from not only the aesthetics standpoint, but also from the direct impact it has on the Honolulu Harbor. Three moderate to heavy fish kills have occurred in the Kapalama Canal. This is per Cox and Gordon of 1970. The first in May 1963 and the third in 1966 involved mainly forage species and were attributed to food and kindred products. The cause of the second, involving the estimated 100,000 fish, was undetermined. Thank you, caller. Go ahead with your comment.
Hello, Cal.
Yes, sir.
You know they're using oysters to help clean up Pearl Harbor?
Mm-hmm.
Can this also be applied to Kapalama Canal and Alawai, you think?
Oh, you can. Yeah, you can if you want just another effort to fail. I mean, if you just want to make it.
Assuming it's going to fail?
All right, well, let's go back and just take a journey back to the Alawai, for example. Remember recently, in recent years, there was this company, and it was all over the news. They were going to put plants there, and the plants were going to filter the water.
I remember they were going to put water lilies.
Yeah, water lilies. You know, so first of all, then they went and decided, well, we better put the a coolie, you know, more of a native plant, they say. But the reality is, you're just filtering a portion of the water. You're not the volume of water, the root system and all that. What, it's not like sucking up with a straw. Oh, there's some contaminant. I mean, the plants don't just go directly at those. It would never work. And secondly,
I already tested it, won't work.
Well, no. I'm not assuming anything. I'm just looking at the design. When you got plants and you put them on top of the water.
These are not plants.
Wait. Listen to what I'm saying. Let's take a journey back, and we'll get to the oysters. And, you know, I shall be patient, I guess. So they said that in Olawai, it was going to clean the Olawai up. And they went ahead and put those things in there. Then another person came and said, it's going to clean up, and I think $500,000. And he had an array of pipes and all that. And the Olawai is sealed with us and nasty. And if you go to my website, you can see where those pipes and all that were thrown in the bushes and left. Now, the oysters, what are you going to do with the mud? The oysters are going to be suspended. And what water are they going to clean? What about the heavy metals and when they say going to clean it up? How can they clean it up?
The heavy metals in the Olawai?
Are there heavy metals? Well, you got your non-point source pollution and runoff and people dumping chemicals and all in the Olawai and the runoff from the streets. Of course, there's heavy metals in the Olawai. Okay. That is why they have on the signs down there, we've forced them to put them on there. Do not eat the fish. If you go to the Olawai, if someone hadn't marked them up, you'll find signs there that say.
Okay, what's the solution?
Well, that's not the question. You ask me, will it work? I'm not tasking myself. I haven't given any thought. And to give you a 5-minute response as to what's the solution? The solution is don't pollute it, first of all, and
well,
be more.
If you're assuming it's already polluted.
Well, no. I'm not assuming anything. Go read the books and you'll find out for you. If you can't take it to be fact, I'll invite you to go. I can get you some documents and you can read and know exactly. And besides, the evidence is there. The signs, have you been to Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
And you've not seen the signs along the bike path and all around there?
The signs that smell the water.
Huh?
I can see the signs that smell the water.
No, I mean the signs that say do not eat the fish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so why would you think, if it's not polluted, you think it's an assumption? I'm drawing the wrong conclusion that if signs say don't eat it because, and the shellfish and all that don't eat them, that it's not polluted?
Well, now that it's already polluted, what is the solution?
Well, okay, we can sit down and talk about that, and I don't have any. Where is going to be of concern, and where do you start, and what are you going to be trying to clean up? The mud, are you going to dredge it and then take all the heavy metals, mud contaminated with mercury and paint thinners and all of that and the constituents from that? What are you going to do? I mean, to ask me, I mean, it sounds like you're pissed if I don't give you the right answer. I don't have a right answer because I haven't given any thought to it. I haven't pretended to say that I'll go get some oysters and put them in a bag and they're going to clean up the Pearl Harbor.
Has anybody tested it yet? In Olawai and Kapalama?
Tested what?
Using oysters to clean the water.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you might want to call them. I don't. I have no clue what they have tested or done. But the point is, you're going to clean it up. Did you hear in that conversation or that proposal they're going to stop scraping the ships and stop painting the ships and stop discharging the waters and all of that into the. And they're going to clean up all the streets and runoff and all of that. And did you hear that part? Because if you're going to put oysters in it, then you would want to definitely stop the source of pollution because you would just be on one end of the pipe cleaning it and the other end introducing more contaminants.
Right. It's a good idea to stop polluting to begin with.
Yeah. So I as far as these are filter feeders, they can do that. and they can extract. So, but what portion of what strata of the water, what level of water, 8 feet, 10 feet, or are you going to have them all the way down? But again, I can't believe that anybody would make that proposal when they are continuing to operate Pearl Harbor. And then not to mention all of the runoff from agricultural practices.
Well, the agricultural practices have been going on for a long time.
Exactly. And so, therefore, there will be many, many levels of contaminants from those practices and the production of pesticide along over there by Waipahu, Westlock, and those areas. So you haven't, that's a toxic site right there. So you continually get washed and run off and leaching into the Pearl Harbor, the greater Pearl Harbor. So lawns, golf courses, you're going to shut them down and then put the clams or the oysters in there and then clean it up? See, if we had some logical explanation, this is what we're going to do to stop the introduction, then I'd say, let's rely on everything to do it. But if
right.
you're not going to stop the source or the influence or the effluent coming in. Yeah, so I just think when I heard that, and it sounds good, and it's just another boondoggle because I didn't hear what I should have heard.
Why is it a boondoggle? What's the cost involved?
Well, if it costs $5, it's still too much for something that won't work, in my opinion. So that...
It's your opinion, but what is the facts? What is the actual testimony?
Well, I don't care to have you to dismiss my thoughts and my comments like that. They are facts.
You said opinion. That's your opinion.
Well, based on some information that says that if you put a wall of oysters and completely, maybe, but you're not. You're just stringing them here and there. And what are you cleaning up? What are you cleaning up? Are you cleaning the suspended solids? Are you cleaning the settled sediments in the soil, in the mud? Which one are you cleaning up? What are you targeting?
That I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't care about, care to discuss it with. I'd be happy with that, but to place the burden on me or insist that I tell you the answers. I didn't propose it because I think the whole thing is off the wall. So to go any further to suggest. Oh, okay, I understand that, but the manner in which, like, I lay ownership to, I don't know, but I felt that, well, we've seen these kinds of things.
Are there other partial solutions or solutions?
Stricter enforcement by the state, number one. Stricter enforcement by the EPA. Stricter observance by the agencies and the military that have these pollutants and confining them and restricting them and changing their practices. Red Hill leaks and all kinds of soils, and we've talked about this on the show, plumes of oil just sitting there leaking into the harbor. So what are you cleaning up? Are you going to overwork the oysters? I mean, you're going to give them overtime? Then we'll get OSHA in there, complaining that we're overworking the oysters. Because, being facetious, but it's something. It sounds good, but these are the same people that will tell you that the state is the enforcers, but the state doesn't have any authority on federal land. So, I think the you want my description of it. It's one big lie. If they want to clean up, to hell with the oysters.
Wait a minute. They said it has worked in Boston. So it's worked in Massachusetts.
Well, good. That's good. Then have
it has worked.
Have another tea party. But again, we're talking about Pearl Harbor, a unique setting. A place that continue on a daily basis introduce more contaminants to, based on just the leaks and the plumes that are drifting and floating and meandering underground.
So if it has worked before previously elsewhere, what's wrong with trying it here?
Well, again, what's wrong with cutting off the source?
What's wrong with cutting off the source? Do it.
Well, then that's the part of the conversation that needs to be had.
That's part of the solution, right there.
Yeah,
The other part of the solution is the cleanup.
Well, the cleanup, there could be many of things. It could be recycling the water through a system, coming up through osmosis, all kinds of systems that could be used in combination.
You don't favor natural sources.
No, that's an assumption, and you're drawing a conclusion for yourself.
You said it was your opinion.
No, I'm saying to you that you saying that relying on this one thing is what I'm trying to emphasize. It's not going to work. And unless you do away with the solutions.
You're saying that your opinion is not going to work.
Well, okay, I'm entitled to my opinion, but my opinion is based on many years of understanding and reading and understanding the facts about what exists there. And if you're going to clean up Pearl Harbor, you better bring in some damn big oysters.
Oh, a lot of them.
You better bring in more than we'll be able to hold in that Pearl Harbor.
Start somewhere.
Well, yeah, but don't take our tax dollars and start on
the... Oh, take tax dollars to do that?
No, they're going to do it for free.
How much is it going to cost?
I have no idea, my friend.
Why are you saying it's going to cost tax dollars?
Because, first of all, do you think the folks are going to do it for free?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, they didn't say they were going to do it for free, and it's still not going to work. It will not clean up Pearl Harbor. I stand to be factual on that. You're going to have to get some serious clams.
No.
I'm talking about money, my friend. Haven't you walked the streets before? Clams, brother.
Okay.
Clams and oysters. That's what we're talking about. Clams and oysters.
Right.
You know, if you ain't got the clams.
What's the cost of having those oysters?
I don't know. If you want to call them up and ask them and share with us, I'd appreciate it.
Who contact?
You might want to call the operations office or public information officer at Pearl Harbor if you can get them to respond to you.
Public information officer.
Information office.
That's Department of either military.
Yeah, it was DOD or again. You know, like the name of the Joint Base Pearl Harbor, right? So I don't know who you would be calling. I have my experience with calling the public relations person is end up 2 days later and you get a third party that's in some other state. So I'm not going to give you any suggestion of who, and it's that's the way it is. But in all honesty, without sounding flippant saying to you, dismissing it, step back and look at the whole bowl and ask yourself, okay, if the claim is we'll come in and clean it up, okay, put your oysters in, but then what are you going to do to abate the introduction of newer chemicals?
Yeah, that has to be taken care of too.
Right, so unless you do that, let's hope that they're doing it for free, like you might want to suggest. Let's hope that they're doing it for free and it won't cost us anything. But if we were to say, yeah, you clean it up and we'll in 10 years, but you're gonna go back and test it. Well, it's still contaminated. Well, right, because uphill there is leaks.
Right.
So. You know, on the tank
48.
Yeah, on the tank 48. If you don't do away with the source, then you know it's you're just going to have more pollution.
Yeah, you got a point there.
So, but out there, the dioxins of concern. You're right there at the soccer field.
Yeah.
And all of that, and the drainage and the landfills. Way back in the old days, there was a runway out there, and there is a place out there right now. You shouldn't even walk through the place without protective gear on.
Uh-huh.
And it's influenced by tidal and the plucking and underground waters and what have you. So I'm as nice and romantic as that may have sounded, and it to me, I just thought, okay, well. That's funny, you know, because we have the dumping and the pesticides that have been flowing for years. So I don't really know. And the paint chips, you know, over the years they've painted and scrubbed and scraped, and where did that material go?
In the water.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
You know, they don't haul it away. They just scrape it into the,
yeah,
into the ocean.
So, and those are solids and what break down. So when someone say they're going to clean up, maybe they were going to target a specific constituent and then clean it out and say we've succeeded by cleaning all of the aromatics. I don't know, TPA, but...
Well, you've got to start somewhere, yeah?
Yeah, but, you know, but start on a good foot. I mean, don't go out and spend money when you're saying we don't have any money to address the abatement.
And that's what I'm asking. What is the cost?
Millions. Remember, well, you may not have heard the show. I talked about this extensively. John Glenn formed a committee and had all of these things, them to quantify what it would cost, and they right here in Pearl Harbor, and there were shortchanged because many of the sites didn't make the list because they've agreed that the EPA would come in and do it, and they squawked and complained to higher officials and told EPA to get out of here, basically. And some sites were not even listed still yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, to clean it up, you'd have to quantify what it is you're cleaning up. What's the volume, and what constituents, and what are they contained in, right? Now, you know, if you were using, remember the oysters and the clams and the mollusks, other in the Mississippi, in those areas in the mud, right?
Yeah.
They had those things, and they were filters. And that's why they say be careful when you eat. You didn't get just gasoline. We're giving lead off in the old days, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
you're ingesting.
That's a good idea to eat those filters.
Right. And I don't know. If they fall for it, then I think it would be yet another classic example of waste of money.
Oh.
And I'm all for clean. I'd love to see Pearl Harbor clean. And I mean, when you walk around the edges of Pearl Harbor and see the native mollusk shells there, and all those shells and the fish and all that have died or been caught, that's why they would have called it Pearl Harbor. For what reason? So, it's pearly shells, huh?
Pearly shells.
Yeah. So if you go to, and I don't want to overtalk this, but you go to Blaisdell Park.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of people there now.
Right, a lot of people, but that was a tank farm, or 55-gallon drum storage farm for the Navy. And it's contaminated. So we won't even start to address the PCBs. So what was this company going to clean up with these oysters, you see? And then we go on down to McGrew Park. That was a burning site right next in the vicinity of the Admiral's building, or yacht club, or whatever you call it. The Admiral's yacht area. That you go there and they burn a lot of materials, dioxin, furans, and other things. What was dumped there? Only they know. So, I don't know. You go to the pump house. Remember the pump house? It was in the news way back. Mercury, 75 pounds of mercury dumped in pump. So, what happened to the mercury? A lot of the pumps and things relied on mercury as a viscosity, or, you know, instead of oils and what have you. What was that dump? So, anyway... There's so many things, and so when I saw that, I'm all good for people coming up with creative ideas, but sometimes I have to reflect back on history, and they assured us that at the Olawai, remember now, the Olawai is a smaller area.
Much smaller.
Than the Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
And it also, it failed, it did not work. That it's still dirty.
Oh.
And
like
so...
With the sea lady.
Hmm?
The water lady. The water lady program.
Yeah, but then the problem is when you're using water lilies, then you're creating a problem with that being an introduced to other places such as Wahiwa Reservoir and all those areas, and getting in the wild and getting in the wetlands. And so, again, there's no one answer, and I don't want to be dismissive, but I've been there, and when I look at the Alawai and saw that, and they said, oh, you're just a naysayer. You're negative about everything. And my only concern was, this is BS. It's not going to work, and it's going to last, and we gave tax dollars to this program and under some kind of grant.
Isn't it under some type of pilot program right now in the Pearl Harbor?
It could be. It could be. The waste of money can be, you can find it anywhere. They may have done it. I mean, I was sitting here looking at just the development of the, I'm marveling at the development of the bike rentals and the bike path, how that showed up, and I don't really see any real environmental impact statements and consideration how those bikes
are
going to...
Isn't it amazing how it just popped into view?
Well...
Bike racks everywhere.
Bike racks everywhere, and yet they were chasing, and I can't believe that they chased and had a goon squad chasing the food trucks. You know, to when they would pull...
Yeah, bike racks take up a lot of space.
Yeah, and then yet the bike racks take up city space, and you haven't heard a peep. And that's an injustice, talking about making business for people and the food wagons, and people, you know, they frequent those food wagons, and that's contributing to the economy and sharing and, right, the trickle down, but no.
Well, do the bike racks pay rent on the racks?
You know, as much as I don't know, but I will know in the near future, because I'm concerned how much space did the city give or dedicate to these people?
What is 100 locations, you said?
So imagine. What
per location is so much, and how much for 100 locations, that's a lot of money.
And yet, if you look at that, it's nothing but you look on the front of the bikes, they got advertisements for this and that, and so I think...
That's how they offset their costs?
I don't know how they do it. I think they offset their costs based on what I see is that the mayor gave them a backdoor entrance. I don't know. I think that's...
Really, that's surprising. It just popped up everywhere.
And not requiring them to register the bikes and before they ride them, right? Put them on the street. And then there's another, you know, is there any rules about the city should be encouraging everyone to wear a helmet, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a law, per se, but on the other hand, I see a number of people riding those bikes without helmets. Now, here's what scares me about that bike program, the Bikki or the whatever. Okay, here's what scares me. The liability. Have we, the city, been indemnified or free of all being snatched up in lawsuits when someone riding the bikes get hurt?
Is that covered in cost of the rental?
I don't know. I mean, but again, I'm not a lawyer, but I do know that you can sue anybody, but just to get into a lawsuit, you got to get out of it. You know, you got to defend yourself, whether it's frivolous or not. You can't just ignore it. So, all of those kinds of questions, but collectively, when you add up all these, and it's shocking to see how swift they were and how silent they were. So obviously they were orchestrating it at the medical center. They have it there, the bikes, right?
I have no idea, but I know that a lot of locations that I look around, they're there.
Yeah, you go to the park right there, right across from the Blaisdell.
Oh, yeah, the garden?
Yeah, no, not there, right?
Thomas Square?
Thomas Square. You go there, it's all grown up in weeds, but guess what they have there? A nice layer of bike racks from Bikki.
On which side of the square?
On the Ward Baritania corner.
Oh, right across from the Academy of Arts.
Right across from the Academy of Arts, right there.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Then they have one at the state capitol.
Yeah.
And so how much square footage is that, are they getting for discount or for free? And the other question is, did they put it out to bid? Were there anybody else locally, or are we local folks too stupid?
I have no idea, because it just popped into view all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's like bingo, all of a sudden they're everywhere.
And most of these programs are supposedly green, and I tell you, I dread coming down. When I make a left turn off King Street.
From where to where?
Anywhere. Where are those green bike lanes?
Yeah, you gotta watch them.
I'm likely to get out of my car and start praying and say, thank you once again. I made it safe without running over someone. When that left turn.
You slow down and make sure it's very clear of bikes then before you make a turn.
And the bikers on there, they drive ride as if, well, there's a green lane. You should know better. Get out of my way. I don't know, but there is just these kinds of things. They creep and you find them. They repeat themselves. Whether it's bikes or oysters or who knows. You'd be amazed if you work for government and see how people get in, and get their friends in, and bring money to the table. And oh, you ought to try this, and you ought to try that. And yeah, okay.
I guess the owners of the Biki, are they Caldwell's friends?
I hope they are, because if he treats his enemies that good, then damn, it's the whole thing is puzzling. I don't know why was it done? Why was it so quiet? And it seemed so much was dedicated to it. And then
a lot of planning involved, and all of us from there everywhere.
Right, and then I just keep thinking about if you get out there and start selling something on that sidewalk.
Yeah,
you're gonna get popped, and so what was good for the goose should be good for the gander. But apparently,
well, you got to be a big business one man to get in.
Yeah, or so I don't know any details about it, but it sure strikes me as very, very strange that the mayor can get these things done like that, you know, because he's the mayor, and you notice this person apparently is from out of state.
Order, you mean?
Apparently, I don't know where she's from, but this whole, I never heard of the Biki, and not that the world depends on me to hear from.
Well, they say that they have it in every state has it.
Yeah. Yeah, and which is great. I like riding bicycles, too. I mean, really, but I, because of the safety concerns, I just abandoned it, right? But
I don't know if it's the same companies in every state, but they do have that type of program.
But again, it's city property involved. If they were on their own independently, then we didn't have to waive any rights. They should have been cited for their not registering their bikes. 3 weeks ago, I took pictures of it and was going to look at that, and then I saw a news story where they were talking about, I guess they pissed off some of the other bike shops or somebody in business to say, hey, how you get it and I don't. You know, I don't know what.
You figure they got 1,000 bikes, and they have to pay registration fees per bike.
Mm-hmm.
So that's city coffers money, right?
Right. How much? I can't recall how much I registered my bike for. $20 or something? I don't know. But
right. So if you get 1,000 bikes, it's $20,000 a year.
Right. And so we waive that $20,000, and then all of a sudden, oh well, we got it a few days later. Isn't that funny? You know, so I don't know. It's a shell game, man. Back to the oysters.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Now that's the pollution that I want someone to pop up and say, we're going to put some oysters on the front step of the state capitol and the back door of the state capitol and the city hall, and we're going to clean up the mess. I'll go buy some muscle. I will.
Instead of the usual dropping. Huh?
Yeah, but anyway, if the story is told about the pollutants and how polluted Pearl Harbor is, we wouldn't even put our big toe in the water.
Right. nobody wants to get in it.
Yeah, and then goes back out to the ocean, you know, it exchanges it, right? Okay, well, thank you for calling. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Sir Newland, I seen your site on Facebook. You're very involved with the problems that we have in our state. And this bike thing seems like the biggest setup I've ever seen. The musician came into town and all of a sudden we got 500 bikes everywhere.
Yeah.
With no notice. There's no fanfare, because if the mayor was really proud of this, he would have been announcing the stuff as soon as it came onto his table.
Yeah, but instead he go abroad and then show himself riding on a little bike like Dorothy from leaving Kansas, you know.
Yeah.
It's all
set up.
But again, there is an industry within the federal and state governments and city governments where, if you know someone, you can walk in there and say, I have a bunch of talking pigs and I want to form a musical group that's going to sing the national anthem for free. But I need you to pay me to train them and feed them and transport them.
And I don't guarantee anything.
Yeah, but I don't guarantee anything. And then the mayor looks and says, the mayor looks across the table of the governor and says, on that note, give him $1 million.
Yeah.
You see, it's an economy. It's a business. Getting in close with your friends in government and getting these little side deals, you know.
Legal mafia.
Oh, brother, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I can imagine. You really, I don't touch base with these people. But if I were, I'd be looking in the eye and I go, are you a liar? I just, you know, one question before we start talking any further. Are you a liar?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they are lying to you all the time.
Yeah.
They got hidden agendas, and you know they're hidden because they're not talking about them.
Yeah, well, I know that the bikes, I would have thought, well, gee, if the mayor was that generous, why not put out a letter saying, you know, to enhance small businesses, how much can you use this space for, you know, to sell your arts and crafts? But instead, where people could go to Blaze, the park there, and look and hawk your goods, right? But
yeah,
instead,
if the bikes pay for the insurance and stuff, you know, you could be a two-way street. Oh, you're going to make this thing? Well, what's really enhance it for the people?
Yeah, but Thomas Square has used it. You know, they say we're going to cut out this, and they box it in, right? And but then, out of all of that, you go right there, Thomas Square, and then you see the Bicky bikes.
That's what I mean. It's just a big payoff. Somebody's got to lift up the covers on this mayor and say, who gave you this idea? How did it just formulate? And how long has it been in the pipeline? And now you just, you know, okayed it overnight.
Yeah, and so in other words, you go there and you say, okay, you failed to do the ADA. The ADA is of concern, right?
Yeah.
And what did you do with that? Well, we didn't do anything with it. You see. And yet they put the planters up around, you know, Thomas Square. And then they made the sidewalk smaller. Then they come along and put bike racks there. They hadn't done anything for the benefit of the ADA people.
Yeah, as soon as they blocked all that off, they go, well, it's just real estate we can make money on. Or do something, you know what I mean? Now that we got control of it. Like you're saying, they blocked this off that. And then we'll put some bikes over here and get it paid off, you know, down the line. It's not going to be tomorrow, but it's coming, the money.
Yeah, and I don't know, as I said in my earlier opening statement, was that what we tolerate and how they keep us in the dark and we turn around and hate other folks, this town is not, it's not being good government, not good
not education. They're not a way to point the finger. I mean, it's too many of these guys. You know what I mean? They're all in cahoots.
Yeah.
It's just like a little inner circle. And, you know, the public is paying for it. Well, I'm glad I pay very little taxes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, okay. Well, anyway, I'm going
to
see
if I'm legal and everything. I pay what I have to.
Yeah, well, pay your taxes.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of hard to swallow that you see
man.
These kind of deals.
It's a bone in the throat. I know you got to go.
All right, we got one more caller here.
All right.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Talk to you next week.
Aloha.
Have a good week.
All right, bye. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Carol, thanks for bringing up.
Yeah, go ahead. Did I lose you? You there?
Yes, Carol.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up ADA for the disabled. You know, on Date Street, they had marked crosswalks. When they repaved the street, they took the marked crosswalks away. And that's a long stretch. And people have to go all the way down to the stoplight if they live in the middle of Date Street or whatever, and then cross that street to go to the bus stop on the other side. People are disabled who are either visually impaired or in a wheelchair scooter have to go through endure all that. And they said that they took the marked crosswalks and instead of the curb cuts, you still can use it in the article that they had on the newspaper, KHON2, Alexander Dan and some other reporter. And they said you still can use on DTA. That's ridiculous. That's jaywalking. That's dangerous. And they should put it back, or they can put a street pedestrian crosswalk right there in the middle so they can get one side to the other side.
Yeah, you know, what's appalling is that those people, the ADA challenge people and all of that, and the bus system, you don't hear the mayor doing anything, but overnight we pop up with some cute little green bikes, avocado flavored and all.
Yeah.
And tofu driven, and yet all these other issues, your issues about bus and handy vans and all that, is still evading the needs of the people.
Yeah.
And he can go away and have time to do that and build a bike system. And I'm all for saving, but let a person, if a person wants to ride a bike, let them buy their own bike.
Yeah.
Why do we need to get involved and dedicate? So, but again, this is why. When you turn on my show, people go, oh, my God, did you hear what he said? The guy is so harsh and rude and brash. You damn right, because I don't have the stomach that some of you iron stomach folks have out there. Yeah, but you can tolerate things that, to me, is like it's an affront.
Yeah.
You know, when you know that you have friends who are disabled and would love to get out on the street and ride their wheelchairs, but there are obstacles. They can't get up on certain sidewalks. And all of that kind of stuff. You follow. And then we get some pretty little green bikes who seem to be getting favors.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be as harsh as I can legally on the air. But
yeah, and, I remember those sidewalks that you talked about with the planters. I personally talked to him. Yeah, he said, I'll take that at the town hall meeting. And he said, we're in compliance with ADA. He didn't let Ross Sassamore talk, the guy
right.
That's in charge of it. But the mayor did. And he said, no, we're in compliance with the ADA.
Well,
we have this.
Well, this is. Let's remember this at the polls.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, tell him keep his beef stew.
If they want to impeach Trump, let's impeach them there.
Yeah. It's just when I thought, my God, here. And then there were two people. One was being aided, but he was visually impaired.
Uh-huh.
And the guy stepped down on the curb and right there at Thomas Square between the museum.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, nobody was coming behind him on Baritania.
Yeah. And don't forget the segways.
Oh. Oh, and you can't hear them.
No. They're all over the place in Waikiki with these tourists coming around. And
I know. I almost got bumped by a couple of them the other day. And that was... So, whoa, maybe they need to put some kind of... Remember when you were a kid, they put the card and the playing card in the spokes of the... To make them. Well, they need to do that or something.
Okay, Kerry, have a good one.
All right, take care.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.